The best of the week on Relevant Radio.
And I was thinking about this. I saw a piece recently, why you should give money to the homeless, right? I saw this piece. It made me think. There's two mindsets to this, right? The one mindset is, you know, if I give money to the homeless, Drew, it's just going to go to facilitate and keep them in that lifestyle. You know, these guys are on the street, men and women, they're there because they're doing drugs, right? Or they have some sort of other issue. We're not doing them a favor by giving them any sort of money, right? They misuse the money that you have. They might use it on a harmful substance, maybe hurt themselves, or maybe a non-essential item. And it's just a short-term solution. We need to think bigger picture. That's the mindset of a lot of people. And then others are like, well, you know what? There's something very spiritual about this. You know, that you do bring immediate relief. You do maybe give food to the hungry or drink to the thirsty. You fulfill a corporal work of mercy. You respect the dignity of that human person, even though they might be dirty and unhomed, you know, if you will. Unhoused is a new term, homeless. And when you hand somebody money, I think it's often accompanied by a brief interaction. That personal moment, that moment of personal connection, it can be just as valuable as the financial help you give. The other thing, too, that I always found striking, you never know when you're going to encounter Christ. I had an encounter with a homeless person once that, in retrospect, I thought, man, it could have been an angel. Could have been. The number of homeless people in our country is growing. We're one of the wealthiest nations in the planet, right? There's an interesting lawsuit that's going to be heard before the Supreme Court next week. In City of Grants Pass versus Johnson, the city of Grants Pass, Oregon, is being sued. They're being sued by a homeless man because the city's outlawed sleeping in public places. So the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down the ban, you know, basing its ruling on the Eighth Amendment, you know, the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment. But the law sounds a lot like laws in other cities that ban panhandling in certain areas, and mostly in downtown areas where big business, you know, they have their glass and case buildings. And it does hurt your business. You don't want a homeless encampment outside of your restaurant, do you? I mean, it can be kind of hard to get clients to come in. So you can kind of understand both of these issues. But as you drive around, you see the homeless standing there at traffic lights or the other end of, you know, interstate exits, holding out signs asking for money. What is your reaction? I think you're seeing more of these today. If you're walking around the city, you see somebody sleeping, you know, on a sleeping bag or a backpack with a sign asking for help. And I know that there are even places like Los Angeles and San Francisco where the homeless are just about everywhere. Hollywood isn't the glamorous place it once was. There are tents lined up and down the streets there now because unless you have a few thousand dollars in cash to give away, you can only help a few people. So it's a big debate, and I want to talk about it today with John Brundage. John's actually a seminarian with a community of priests called the Companions of the Cross, originally from Dexter, Michigan. And he's currently serving at Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Houston. So big shout out there for his pastoral internship. But he recently wrote about this, and I'll plug his Substack column. It's called Integrated Prayer. You can check it out there, Substack Integrated Prayer. And this is a big debate. On one hand, you have those who say, got to be prudent. You know, the other one, you got to be generous, right? I go to Scripture. I think of Matthew 5, verse 45, where he says, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends a rain on the just and the unjust. Or in Luke, where he says, you know, when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you'll be blessed, right? You'll be blessed. Even though they can't repay you, you'll be repaid by God. John, good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great topic for us to kind of share our thoughts and our positions on this. You take the position that for the most part, we really probably should be giving money directly to the homeless who ask for it on the street. What led you to that conclusion, and share your thoughts on it? Why?
Yeah, so for all of my life, I've heard this argument that they're probably going to spend it on alcohol. They're probably going to spend it on drugs. And I just really never found it very convincing because, like, just for all of my life, I've seen it as a very skewed way of looking at the way they spend their money. Because yes, they probably spend more than they should on alcohol, the ones that do.
Yeah.
But they still have to buy food, they still have to buy socks, they still have to get medicine and everything else in their life. So even if they spend every dime of my money on alcohol, that's $5 that they saved in order to buy food. So that was something that really stuck with me all of my life. But more recently, I had a conversation with my friend Gabriel, and he said that when he's in that position and he's wondering whether or not they're going to waste his generosity or take advantage of it, he said that, "I think of all the graces that I've wasted in my life."
Wow.
And that just really struck me, because I think of all, as I write about in the piece, I think of all the times I've gone to confession and confessed my sins only to fall into the same sin once again, all the times that I've asked for second chances from people, and all the times that I've messed up. And I think my piece can be summarized in the fact that if I hold the homeless to this standard, that measure is going to be measured out to me, and it sets up a standard that I don't want to be held to on the final judgment.
Yeah, I love that. I live by that. Believe it or not, you know, you're going to be judged and you're going to be measured by the cup of which you measure. I try to be generous at any opportunity, and you never know why. I mean, you never know how God is going to repay your generosity. You don't do it so you get something back. But, you know, we're going to store up our eternal treasure where it matters most. But I'll share with you a real quick story. It was a true story. I was newly married. My wife and I had only been married about a year, and a buddy of mine who came from a really affluent family was getting married, and we were living in Pennsylvania. I had a drive to New York City, where he had this incredible wedding. I mean, there was Rolls Royces parked out front and trumpets. He was in a giant church, and we were a little bit late, so we got in the very back row when we came into this wedding, right? And I remember mass is going on. It's a beautiful celebration. All of a sudden, some guy rolls into the church. He's a bum. He's homeless, right? Dirty. His clothes were disheveled. He was very reverent, though, and he sat on the far right side of the church. My wife, Kathy, and I were on the left, and I watched him, and throughout Mass, you know, we enjoyed the celebration, and towards the end of Mass, as we were getting up, and I was broke as a joke. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of money, newly married, you know, starting a new family. Something in my heart said to me, "Give this man what's in your pocket." And I said to the Lord, "I don't want to give him what's in my pocket. I still have the wedding. I got to get home." And I don't know what I had. Maybe I had $100. Maybe I had $50. I don't recall the exact amount right now. But I reached in my pocket after we were one of the last ones to exit the church. And I went up to him. I said, "Here, I want you to have this." And he just looked at me and he took it with gratitude. And that was it. I thought nothing more of it. So I go home. I had to leave town the following week. I had to go to give a talk the following Monday in Kansas City somewhere. I was asked to come out there. And you know, my wife, I drive her crazy, because in my pockets, I always leave tissues. You know, she does the wash. She's like, "You got to empty your pockets, right? Because otherwise it gets everywhere." So she does the wash. Next thing you know, she goes down to the dryer and she screams out loud, Drew, come down here. Come down here immediately. Drew. And I think, oh my gosh, what's the matter, right? I race down and she opens the dryer. And this is an absolute true story. Opens the dryer. And again, we were pretty tight on money at the time. That dryer was filled with money. There were $5 bills. There were dollar bills. There's $200 or $300 in there. We have no explanation for where it came from. She always empties my pockets. We didn't have that type of cash coming around. And it was kind of a sign that God gave me that, you know, just as he multiplies loaves and fish, just as he can turn water into wine, as he can take a coin out of a fish's mouth, he can do anything for you. And it was kind of a moment for me to always be generous, because I'm not always going to see, you know, money come back to me like that, but my eternal treasure's there, and God will use that act to bless others. So you never know when you're going to meet an angel, or you might meet Christ himself, and who knows who that was at the time. Is there merit to not giving? You know, if you think this person is an alcoholic or drug addict, to deprive them of that, or should you give, even though you might be continuing to facilitate their favor? And I think discernment is important in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and I think there's a stronger case to be made if you have a stronger relationship with them. Like if you're discerning cutting a check for $1,000, you'll obviously want to be more careful about vetting that money and how they're spending that money. But in terms of, like, you know, just a $5 bill, I just think that's being a little bit too tight about the money. Like, yeah, maybe he'll spend four of those $5 on alcohol, but like that's just $4. That's one beer. It's not going to tip the scale, but that's $1 of food. And like you said, there's also to consider the encounter as well. You're able to break the isolation, break that dehumanization, and to share Christ with them as well. Because they're ignored all day. People, like thousands and thousands of people, walk by pretending not to see them, ignoring them, treating them like they're dirt. And for you to be that one person, I think that's worth risking, taking the risk of buying them a little extra beer accidentally.
I like it. Robin's in Woodbridge, California. Robin, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to share, I had an experience years ago. I was living in North Highlands, and I had to go to court, and I stopped at a gas station. I had to get gas, and I was on my way, and for some reason I felt compelled to get $10 out. And so I did get $10 cash, and we didn't have that much money then. Yeah. But then, and I saw a lady, and I believe it was her son. She had a sign up asking for money. And so I went over to her, and I gave her the $10 that I had gotten. And then I went on to my court, and I had asked her, oh, please spend this on your child. But I don't know what she did. But I went to court, and in that court, the judge had lessened the money that I owed by exactly $10.
I love it.
And I saw that as, this is confirmation for me. It is between me and the Lord. Amen. He asked me to, he doesn't ask me to figure out what's going on with someone else. He asked me to do what he asked me to do, and it's up to that mother, that woman to do what God asked her to do. So it's not my responsibility. Yep. It's God's responsibility and her responsibility.
Amen.
So,
Robin, I love
that's
it.
How I thought.
Thank you for calling and sharing that. And Maggie, I know you wanted to jump in.
I just had a quick point. You know, regardless of how much money I have on me to give to someone, I like to look them in the eye and say, hey, how are you? And, you know, how are you doing? And gosh, it's hot out today. You know, like just have a little conversation with them about their life. And if I do have something to give to them, I give it to them. And I make sure that there's that physical contact. And you look them in the eye and you say, God bless you.
Wow.
I think even more than the money, the impact of having someone just treat them like a human.
You know,
huge.
And that's such a great point, Maggie, because so often, and John, you can speak to this too, we are very judgmental. I mean, people will walk on the other side of the road or they'll look at this person and you assume that they're there because of drug addiction or some other thing. But, you know, a lot of people are a paycheck away from being homeless. You know, there could be people who are living in their car or living on the street. Maybe they do have an addiction. You know, they're wounded. That's a disease. Or maybe they have mental illness, or maybe they have no family, or maybe tragedy bestruck them. I mean, we really have to have hearts, I believe, filled with charity and compassion for these people. Let God sort everything else out, right? So this is, in some respects, a great exercise in our own virtue, isn't it, John?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing I touch on in the article, is that, like, even if you don't give, even if you disagree with everything that I've said, you can still not give without dehumanizing the person. Like, I remember there was a lady, and she was talking to me, and she said, like, she had her family in the car and she needed money, and it gave her a little bit of money. And then, like, there was some red flags about her story, and I thought, like, okay, maybe I'm on the hook. Like, so she was trying to get me to buy her a motel room, and like, okay, like, I wasn't sure about the situation, and it was more money than I could give. And so I just told her straight up, like, I can't give it to you. And I think, like, all day, like, whether she was being honest or not, like, she's been having people, like, give lame excuses or just pretend they don't see her. But even to just have someone say no to them respectfully and directly, I think that's also a way to humanize them, too. We can take such a judgmental stance toward homeless people and assume that they're, like, jaded and cynical and they're going to take advantage of us. But my experience is closer to the opposite.
Yep.
Like, I remember I bought a lemonade for one guy, and he was practically jumping for joy. And he said, I'm going to pay this forward. And I said, like, I said to myself, like, I just bought this guy a lemonade. So just want to say, like, you never know when you'll encounter Jesus, when you'll make a huge difference in someone's life. And Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. So it's just something for us to remember.
Amen. Hey, John, good luck in your call to serve the Lord. We'll be praying for you. I know you're a seminarian right now, and count on all of our prayers. Keep writing, okay? God bless
you. Thank
you
so much, Drew.
You got it.
God bless you.
It's John Brundage. Hey, like what you just heard? Then share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.